Hello and welcome to this exploring session of The Cruel Debtor, a fragmentary play from around 1560-65. It was printed in 1566, so sometime before that. It's putatively written by one of the Wagers, or Wagger, or Vagger, I don't know. It's spelled W-A-G-E-R. I don't actually know how it's supposed to be pronounced. There's two of them, I'm afraid, as well. So there's a Lewis and there's a William, and they were quite busy in the early years of Elizabeth, so we're going to come back to them. We're definitely going to come back to them. The precise connectivity of the various fragments isn't quite clear to me. For this read-through, I pieced them together as effectively one sequence, which made perfect sense at the time, but I am aware that this might be a distortion and that there should be at least one break in the text for some other action. All this said, I loved this fragment. It features lots of action you'll find quite familiar from other interludes. So there are characters disguising themselves as something else. They're trying to change status and their appearance. And their appearance effectively changes who they are. What they're wearing is very important. It also functions, in the modern sense, a bit like a con. It's very Sneaky Pete, or other con artist shows are available, where the con artists gather to plan how to get into the circle of their chosen mark. This acts as a bit of a prelude to the debtor plot. It's almost a routine rather than the primary action. It's difficult to say because we don't have the rest of the play. I mean, I really actually would love to do more with this one and on, because it was really rather fun. And there's a lot of potential around it for action and activity. I suspect the primary plot of the Cruel Debtor element is actually slightly less interesting. You can go to the show notes to find an online version of the text to follow as you listen at your leisure, or online versions, because it comes in two different fragments. Anyway, here is the first stab at getting into the text. This was workshopped with our Beyond Shakespeare regulars sometime in 2019. There are stumbles and errors, but that is par for the course. More fulsome audio versions of all these exploring session plays one day will be released. And as we'll be recording a proper version of this anon, please share your thoughts or suggestions about where we go from here. Submit suggestions, clarifications, and passive-aggressive abuse, either on our Patreon page by joining us, or on Twitter at Beyond Shakes, or email us at admin@beyondshakespeare.org. The irregulars were Liz Cole, Mark Scanlon, and Alan Scott, and I'm, as per usual, your host, Robert Crichton. And this is The Cruel Debtor. Good title. The Cruel Debtor. Now, this is a pulled together from various sources of two bits of fragmentary material that in theory all go together. Now, stitching them together, because there wasn't one place I went for this, I had to go several places online to find this text, and it was hard work turning this into a thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are more errors in this. It's quite a lengthy little chunkette.
About 8 pages.
It's, 8-9 pages. Maybe even be 10. It's chunky. I have noted where the fragment links are, so we can see if I've got the positioning wrong. There's quite a few people in it, but I don't think that's going to matter too much. We're going to start with who wants to be Rigger? May not be spelled with a U. Anyone want to go for being Rigger? Mark is Rigger.
Rigger is, in fact, the only one who appears, because I'm assuming that... The break is effectively on page 26, which is when Ophilates...
Well, we get quite a few people entering all at once, so it's going to get messy.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it getting messy. We'll just take it as we go. So who wants to read Flattery? Mark is Rigger.
I'll creep if you like.
Liz would like to be Flattery. So next up after that, they've got the stage for a while. Simulations.
Yeah, we'll go with
Alan, if you'll be Simulation.
Oh God, it's a bit of a Latin to
which
start
I suspect
with.
Is dissimulation. I haven't done any glosses on Latin at all, so I'm going to have to rely on you. Okay, and then we'll worry about the other three people coming in later. So this is a play that has got both named characters, you know, people with your actual genuine names, as well as
allegorical bits and bobs. And this is, you know, circa 1566, so it's in that sort of early Elizabeth sort of area of bits and bobs. Anyway, let's see what happens and see how it goes, because I'm really unsure what is going on.
To them thou shalt be welcome, I warrant thee. Yea, and in great exception also, said he. Now the thing wherefore I was so angry and mad was this. I forgate the counsel that of him I had.
The goodliest thing in the world is communication, for what bringeth things to our memoration. Thou and I had like fortune with Basilius, or Basilius.
I think it's probably Basilius, because otherwise we're going to sound like we're talking about a stomach
Yes,
bug.
It does. That would be unfortunate. After that manner to thee, I will plainly discuss. I remembered a saying of Seneca in a tragedy, worthy to be printed, of such as loves flattery.
Loves yourself.
Of course, yeah. Fui sublimi regnat in aula.
Which I think gets translated literally in your next line, in some form.
The higher that the court is, the more of the nobility. The more falsehood. The more falsehood is herein, and the more iniquity. More flattery is not in the world reigning than is in the court of any noble king. Now, Basilius is a king of most honoration, in whose house I thought to have my habitation. But I came not so soon within Basilius' palace, but they disclosed me openly unto my face. And when they had once betrayed my name, I might no longer tarry in that court for shame. Then, as thou didst, I took my friend's counsel, asking him where it was best for me to dwell. He named them of whom we have spoke before, saying that with them you may dwell evermore. And even now my purpose was to go thither.
So that's quite nice. It's quite nice. This whole is setting up quite nicely. You know, I thought this King Basilius, it was going to be an easy mark. I'd just turn up. I'd flatter everyone because courts are like that, and it would be great. And they immediately clocked that you were a shit. That's quite interesting. Not sure what's going on with Rigger yet, but we shall see. I suspect that you're not a good person.
Of all good fellowship, let us go together. I do not pass in King Basilius' house to dwell. I doubt not but that we shall do even as well. But, sirrah, what didst thou see, simulation?
I think, yes, so but, sirrah, did you see simulation? Did you see our mate?
Oh, sorry.
I think that's the meaning
yeah.
of that line.
Sorry, yeah, quite right, yeah.
Because he hasn't done it.
So
well,
it might be an extra comment there, but, sirrah, what did you see?
But, sirrah, what didst thou see, simulation?
This day he and I had communication. Blank. Promise me straightway to come hither. Another blank for. Our friends, we should go together. In the world is not so false a knave as he, for by him all states of people deceived be. In bishops and pastors he is humility, and yet must be full of pride and crudity. In all the clergy he seemeth to be holiness, when in them is a multitude of wickedness. Magistrates he seemeth to be affability, yet lurketh disdain and austerity. In the commons he seemeth to be neighbourliness, yet is there envy, hate, and covetousness. I dare say that his deceit further doth wonder than all the domination of King Alexander.
Deceiveth he so, and is never deceived again?
Seldom, nor ever that I hear of, I tell thee plain.
Isn't the king an annoyingly righteous bastard? I think that sums up what's going on there. It's like you've got two professional con men going, God, this place is a sod of a mark. I mean, they're really wise to us. We're going to have to up our game if we're going to get in here.
This is what you call a good example.
Yes.
By the mass, it were a good deed to deceive him. And I will tell thee which way we may do it. Thou sayest yet he will be here without doubt today?
That is without question. Truly, I dare say.
Well, when he cometh, we will semble out to fall. We will strike one at another as though we did brawl. What we mean by that, he will greatly wonder. Then he will come intending us to sunder. Thou shalt strike at me, and I at thee will swack. But let all the stripes light upon his back.
So you're going to stage a fight, which he's going to have to intercede in, and you're probably going to give him a bit of a whack while you're at it.
In fact, the emphasis should be, let all the stripes light upon his back.
Yeah, so you're going to have this mock fight against each other, but if you're going to get any blows in, you're going to be hitting the person who's trying to break you up.
Okay.
This is...
He's piggy in the middle.
I don't know which kind of con this is, but I'm fairly certain it's got a name.
A bit like All in Wrestling.
Yeah, well, no, in terms of as a con trick, it's to put the mark off by setting something up so that they make feel like they're the good guy. I'm sure it's got a name, and I'm sure someone online will be able to tell us. So it's a little con that you've got going. So you're going to do some fighting in a moment, which will break this up a little bit. So flattery, continue.
Of good fellowship. Let it be so, even indeed. Let the assembling knave have somewhat for his meed. Hark, by my faith and truth, I hear him spit. Let me begin to fight. Nay, hold thy hand. Thou may it not fight yet.
Yeah, so it might be that he's started too soon. He's like, no, not yet. He hasn't come around the corner.
Jump the queue.
And I think it would... I think that must be here. The here must be here, as in listen rather than written there. I hear him spit, arrive, or something like that. I think that's what's going on. So Rigot, however, is going to point out, we've got to already be fighting when he turns around the corner.
We must be fighting when he doth enter needs, or else for the sport I will not give two threads.
Enter simulation.
Dominus Fabiscum in principio erat verbum. Yea, are you fighting? I purpose no near to come. Nemo tute se periculus offeri posseste. He that putteth himself in forward cannot be sure, but putteth himself in hazard.
A whore, son, by the mass it shall cost thee thy life.
I will cut thee as small as a knave with my knife.
Good Lord, what meaneth these folks to fight? Hold your hands, masters, I pray you no more. I trow that it is not best to approach too near, lest perchance we like some of their evil cheer.
I will teach you, whoreson villain, to meddle with me.
Doubt thou not, but even with thee I will be.
And you need to be sort of deeply unconvincing in your head. Ah, yes, how? Oh, I will catch you. Ah. And you're semi-talking to the audience, I think, simulation with this.
Passion of God, one of them is my cousin Flattery. I will see him take no hurt, here, verily.
And he goes to them.
For God's sake, gentlemen, hold your hand. This is an honest man, you shall understand.
Horse and knave, comest thou to take his part?
And he hits you.
You've broken my head. I beshrew your heart.
Art thou meddling between us, naughty knave? Somewhat for thy presumption thou shalt have.
More hitting, I suspect, occurs there.
No more, good cousin, for God's passion. No more, alas, I am your cousin's simulation.
For the body of God hold thy hand, Rigger. If thou be a man of thy hand, strike no more. I ween we have hurt my cousin by the mess. I had liever than £20 it had not come to pass.
That's the wrong line. That's Lizzie's line.
Doesn't
sorry.
I can always edit it out. It's fine. And of course, this is again all fake thing. So go Flattery again.
For the body of God, hold thy hand, Rigger. If thou be a man of thy hand, strike no more. I ween we have hurt my cousin by the mass. I had liever than £20 had it not come to pass.
I cannot be content till I have a leg or an arm.
And Flattery is holding Rigger back. You know, he's not worth it, mate.
But at this time, for his sake, I will do no more harm.
Alas, since I was born, never did men so me beat. I fear, yes, I shall never after this day more bread eat. Oh, my arm, now alas, what shall I do? I ween that my backbone be broken in two.
It is madness to meddle between men in their fury. They know not their own father when they be angry.
Furor Irac mentum precipiant, fury and wrath, as in Virgil.
Virgil.
Latin. I find, do withdraw and precipitate man's mind. In faith, cousin, had I known that it had been you, I would not have hurt you for the price of a cow. Alas, good cousin, now by my troth I am sorry. I promise you, cousin, you are all my joy and glory.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, yes. I love the rhyme there. So it's probably yow and cow.
Yes.
I think it was written yow and in the original manuscript.
By my faith and truth, you will not believe how the soreness of your back doth my back grieve. The stripes that are on your arms and shoulders did light. I wish them on mine own, by God and by this night. A good cousin, I pray you to be of good cheer. Let me see your arms. Do any of your stripes appear?
A vengeance on your false, subtle, smiling heart. Full like a false knave, you can play your part.
Of little falsehood, surely I have probation before I learned of it from you, simulation.
This was done of a set purpose, I dare say. But trust to it, I will be even with you one day.
To deceive such one is known deceivable. It's no deceit, as by thee now it is probable. All the world you deceive, your cousin doth say, thinking it not possible to deceive you any way. Then I hearing that you were so cunning in deceit, to deceive you again, a time I did wait. Lo, here see, he that to deceive all, his mind doth cast, by some mean is deceived himself at the last.
Now I wonder, is this sort of reverse psychology here? Going, well, if you know that we're not trustworthy, then
why bother?
Then why would we do this? Because we're you
waste
know
your time and effort.
Yeah, we wouldn't. It's a nice little bit of false logic that I think is there to bamboozle. I think that's what's going on.
Mm. Just a quick note for your script, Robert. On page 24, in flattery speech, I think it should be our good cousin. It's an exclamation.
It could just be just the sound of an A. It's just good cousin. It's not a good cousin. Yes, you're right. Yes. I too have circled it. A good cousin. Something on those lines. Okay. Flattery joins in with this false logic, I think.
Put me in no fault, cousin, I you desire. For rigour so to do did me instantly require, blaming other people.
Mm.
I trust, cousin, that you will forgive me for this once, for I will do no more, so I warrant you by these bones.
I forgive you as Christian men, their brother, till they spy a time to do one shrewd turn for another. Hang me if I wait not for you a knavish touch, yea, or it shall cost me all that is in my pouch. A vengeance on you for working of the same, for you have almost made my arms and back lame.
God requireth no more than but a penitent heart.
Marry, but he would require more if he had felt smart.
Right, we'll just pause there, because this is when we start getting additional people coming in. I think for the moment I will just read the additional person, because it's only one, and I'm hoping that it gets a little less complicated. Anyway, additional random person enters. Ophelitis. It's a bloke. You know, it looks a bit like Ophelia, but it's not.
Peace, no more words. Yonder cometh a gentleman.
By Jesu, I will be even with you both if I can.
Oh, do what thou canst. I set not by thee a louse.
It is a gentleman of King Basilius' house. He is not merry. Something without doubt is amiss. If thou wilt be still, you shall know what the cause is.
Let us assemble ourselves to be persons of gravity.
Yes, I just love this idea. Like you suddenly stand and go... Who stand in the corner again. I will assume a stance of nobility.
I could find it in my heart to disclose your naivety. By my faith, if I knew myself to escape harmless, I would declare to your shame all your wickedness.
We may be glad at the heart, verily, that thou art as far forth as we in knavery. Wherefore, if any of our feats thou wilt disclose, the worst pain and shame shall light on thy own nose.
So it's this little thing. You haven't forgiven them for the whole fighting thing. You're not convinced, and they're just... That's a little bit of a threat there, of be shush while we listen to this person make a speech. Hey, good Lord, I am undone and all mine. I have lived like a gentleman all my life, but now I am like to come to utter ruin. Yea, and all my goods, children and wife. He that would hang me or kill me with a knife, I would forgive him, yea, even with a good will, for I am not worth so much as an oyster shell. The higher is shell, mustn't it? Shell.
It must be.
I was wondering what that was for ages, and I just say it out loud and immediately it's obvious. For I am not worth so much as an oyster shell. The higher that any man presumeth to climb, the sorer is his hurt when he chanceth to fall. Would to God that I had looked upon this in time, then had I not been so miserable and thrall. I had not the grace to be wise and political. I never minded to gather any good or treasure. Only my heart was set to live in pleasure. I thought myself so much in favour with the king, trusting in his goodness only from day to day, ever thinking that I should want nothing, and also impossible that ever I should decay. I spent still, borrowed of the king, promised to pay. But now Proniticus hath summoned me to a compt, and alas, my debts do all my goods surmount.
Sirs, hear you not? This is a fit matter for us. Mater for us. Matter.
Yeah, it must be matter. Just a typo. So yes, he's come on, and we've got we found the debtor. By the way, we found the debtor of the title. So someone who's lived all his life for pleasure, just thinking his debts would never catch up with him. Oh look, his debts have caught up with him. And you're going to try and work this to your advantage because you are commen.
So the emphasis should be on us, shouldn't it?
This is a fit matter for us. This is for us.
You know,
and they're drawing you into this.
We are the big audit firms.
Mm-hmm. We're going to make
forensic accountants. No
yes,
it's interesting that he feels he's not worth as much as an oyster shell because in those days poor people just ate them like
they were poor people's food.
Yeah. Anyways, Rigger, start that again.
Yep. Sirs, hear you not? This is a fit matter for us. Speak among yourselves a good way off. If we had imagined among us a whole year, we could not have such a thing against Basilius, as we have occasion now in this man here. Basilius loveth none of us, it doth well appear. And as it seemeth by this man's behaviour, unto him he oweth no very great favour.
Now, to talk with him is a time convenient, for any man being in sorrow and desolation, to hear good counsel would be glad and diligent, namely in a matter of peril and dubitation.
Doubt. Yeah, something like that. Disputation.
That's what it must be.
Let us go unto him, and by his communication we shall know more, and then as we do in him see, so in our counsel friendly to him we will be.
God speed you, sir, and you are welcome into this place. By my faith you are welcome as my heart can think. Alack, you are not merry, seemeth by your face. Will it please you a cup of good wine to drink? Will it please you to go to the good wife of the clink? To speak of good wine, in London, I dare say, is no better wine than there was once today.
Vero autem de factigo gato magnum robor winum oget.
I have no idea. Anyway, so what's happening now is enter the king with his debt collector, basically. So this is where it's going to get a little more fiddly and complicated in terms of who we've got here. I'm just giving a little look ahead. Does simulation really speak?
So, doesn't speak.
So if you could be the king, Alan, if you could read Basilius, the king.
Fine.
And I think
it's only Rigger who appears for the rest of it.
So whoever was Flattery...
Flattery...
Maybe they actually exit at this point. Maybe Flattery and it's just Rigger left alone.
Yeah, so exit...
Maybe, question mark exit.
Simulation.
Or whether they're just standing in the background.
And...
So, Liz, you were Flattery, weren't you?
Yes.
So if you could be the Declector
Proniticus.
Proniticus, yes. So, enter the king and the Declector. Oh, shit. It was time to have in readiness all thing, for yonder cometh Basilius, my lord and king.
As far as we can, let us stand aside. Till he sendeth for you, let us yonder abide.
I thank you, Proniticus, for your diligence. Doubt you not, but your pains we will recompense. I am pleased with the accounts that you have taken. None of your books nor bills shall be forsaken. The most part of my debtors have honestly paid, and they that were not ready I have gently deigned.
If it please your grace, we have not finished your mind. There is one of your greatest debtors yet behind. We have perused the parcel in your book set, and we can find him 10,000 talents in your debt. So we assigned him, before your grace to come, and make a reckoning of the whole sum.
I ween it be that unthrifty fellow, Ophiolatus.
Yea, truly, and if it be like your grace the same it is, I commanded him to be ready here in place, so that we might bring him before your grace.
I would have him sought, and before mine own presence to be brought.
I perceive that he is even here at hand. I see in a readiness yonder he doth stand.
Cause him before us in his own person to appear.
It shall not be long before he be here.
Pluck up your heart and be of good cheer. Fear not, I warrant you. Good fortune is near.
Ophiolatus, it is the King Basilius' commandment that you come before his majesty, now incontinent.
I am in a readiness. Yes, and that's not what it means.
Well, I don't know.
Pissing himself with fear. Yeah. I am in a readiness truly with all humility to come and to the presence of his majesty.
I pray you, sir, speak a good word for him to be king. For him to the king.
He knoweth that I am his own in all things.
God save your life, the fountain of nobility. All hail, the very patron of magnanimity. Blessed be you, the author of all worthiness. Honour and praise to you, the headspring of goodness.
Oh, most mighty, most valiant and noble
king. I don't know if the audience can hear that line. It was a bit muffled because I was so far up the king's arse that I don't know if you could hear that line. Sorry.
O most mighty, most valiant and noble king, God save you, God save you, of all virtue the spring.
Whom hast thou brought into our presence with thee?
If it like your grace, his name is Humility.
Yea, from his heart I am never absent, nor I think never shall be by his intent.
In our accounts taken by our steward, you do know what a sum of money unto us you do owe. Have you brought hither sufficient payment to make your account after our commandment?
Just before we go into the final page, I'm just wondering, did he just come up with your humility instantly, or did you, when we were off to one side, I suspect you told him to say that as an in, because you're using his misfortune. So that sounds like something he's been told to say by you.
It's another it's another personation job, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. It's the mark. I really like this as a con job. This is giving me a route into this. I'm liking. Anyway, oh sir, I beseech you to be merciful to me, for I acknowledge myself so far in your debt to be that all that I have is not sufficient of a quarter of my debts to make payment.
Weep, body of God, can you not weep for a need? You must look piteously if you intend to speed. If you cannot weep, I will weep for you. Ho, 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 I pray you be good to us now.
I love that. It's the way actually, I was doing that almost too well. In the sense I should have been going forward. I have no money, so just cry a bit, do a bit of tears. Come on, come on. Oh, I'll do it for you. Ah!
The
play acting in this is really rather fun. Just do the last line, the ho ho ho, which is obviously mock crying.
Yeah. Oh, I pray you be good to us now.
What mean you in this place to play such a part?
Oh, sir, I declare the effect of this man's meek heart.
There is no more of the matter, but only this. Thou art a riotous person, doubtless a felicitous. Pride and presumption hereto have thee brought, much to spend and lash out, as was ever thy thought. A sumptuous table thou wouldst keep every day, beyond thy degree thou didst exceed in array.
That I may speak one word, please it, your majesty?
Say whatsoever you will, we give you liberty.
And it better be good, because sadly that's all we've got.
Great shame. You'd love to know what the
follow-on. That is definitely one where there's enough text to
do
improvise
something
more with it. That feels, because it's got such life to it as a setup, it could, I mean, and I'm assuming actually that there's probably sources so we know where the story goes. I haven't done much research into it. I really loved the light. It's quite, you know, oh sir, I declare the effect of this man's meek heart. I am the personification of what's going on inside him, because he's not very good at showing it.
I must admit, one of the thoughts that occurs to me is to whether this was actually one of the Inns of Court play.
It could be.
Because the references at the beginning to Virgil and Seneca.
Yeah, there is an element of that.
It's obviously intended for a
somebody
reasonably well-educated audience.
Yes, possibly Inns of Court is a very good good place to be saying where it comes from. I think that's probably a good chat. I don't know.
And it's got the sort of legal quibbles in.